You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder, where every day is casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Friday, July 11th, 2014. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the three-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. It's Casual Friday, folks. So casual that I don't know if we're going to be able to do a show. RCN internet is going in and out intermittently, and it remains to be seen if we'll be able to call anybody or if we're even broadcasting right now. But assuming that we are, on today's program, lawsuit drops. Yes, Speaker Bonaire and the Republicans. Speaker Bonaire and the Republicans decide on what they're going to sue the president on. It is to reinstate the waived or extended deadline mandate for businesses. Also on the program, Justice Department, just months after the Senate said that they were facing a constitutional crisis because the CIA was spying on them, has decided there's really no case here and will not pursue anything. Also, in Detroit, activists begin to engage in direct action to prevent water being cut off to thousands of poor residents in Detroit. All that and more. Folks, forgive me, I'm a little bit agitated today, obviously, because of the tech problems that we're having. But also, I mentioned this on the member show yesterday, and today is the last day I will be doing the 3 to 6 terrestrial radio show. Now, many of you may say, oh, that's great, because as long as the Majority Report continues, and that is, you know, largely my feeling as well. You know, when I had when I was given this opportunity to when I was approached about doing 3 to 6, I was told that because this is a startup, we're going to have some cash flow problems, and you can expect to be working for 60 or perhaps 90 days without receiving any pay. And, you know, I talked to Nikki about it, and we worked it out from a sort of a childcare perspective, and cash would start flowing after the summer, and so we could get the additional childcare that we needed when she is back at work, et cetera, et cetera. Last week I was told that it's not going to be 30 to 60 days or 60 to 90 days. It's going to be closer to like January 2015, perhaps into February. And
it's an internship.
It's more of like an internship situation. And, I said, this isn't really viable, is it? And they're, no, it's viable. I'm like, well, it seems to be viable if I don't get paid. And they're like, well, if that's your decision.
Ooh, get paid, Mr. Fancy over here.
All of a sudden, it's like, and so I said, well, I took a couple of days to think about it. I don't know why it took me that long to think about, but I told them that I could not continue. And so today is my last day on that program. I should also make one thing clear. Ring of Fire on the weekends will continue. And this was not really... when they approached us, we spoke to Pap and the folks at Ring of Fire and basically said, hey, here's the deal. We'll extend the brand in return for the use of your infrastructure in terms of the podcast and the website. There was no way we were going to get something up within a matter of days. And for some reason, the people who approached me at the time didn't want it to be branded the Majority Report, and I'm not sure exactly how we would have handled it anyways from an infrastructure standpoint. So Ring of Fire on the weekends will continue, and Pap and the folks over there have been very supportive of me throughout this process, and I appreciate their support. And so this show, you know, part of the reason why, one of the biggest reasons why I'd wanted to do 3 to 6 was because it would afford me an ability to grow this show, to put money back into this show so that we could do more offerings and get a better facility and whatnot. We're still going to go ahead with those plans, but we're going to have to figure out a way to finance it. And of course, your support makes that makes this show possible day in, day out. Maybe we'll do some type of fundraiser. We're still working out the details. I've still got one more day on this 3 to 6 show. Then everything will go back to normal and hopefully better than normal. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll be talking to Cliff Schechter. Hey, what's up? Sorry I'm running a little late. Last night, she said, oh, baby, I feel so down. Oh, it's a mail when I feel left out. So I turn around. Oh, baby, I don't care no more. I know this for sure. I won't get out that door. But I've been in town for just now 50 minutes now. All right, we are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Casual Friday. And you know what that means? It means Cliff Schechter. And you know what that means? It means the Cliff Schechter theme song.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC. New media, public relations, and strategy. You want any of these services? You know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, LibertasLLC.com.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Cliff Schechter. Hello, Cliff. How's your Casual Friday going?
Very casual, Sam. Very casual. How about yours?
A little less than casual. I think I'm... you know, the 3 to 6 show is ending. We're having internet problems in the office. You know.
Wow, man, your life is just falling apart.
Yes, in many respects. My headset isn't working. I've ordered another one. You are my rock, as it were, Cliff.
Of Gibraltar.
Yes.
I am.
All right, well, let's dig into this. Obviously, you know, the big story as far as I'm concerned, well, we've talked about what's going on in Israel and Palestine. The killing continues, and, you know, let's turn towards domestic politics, because the big issue right now, of course, is that we have this humanitarian crisis in this country where we have At least now 50,000 children from El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala who have come to the border. I mean, it's not, and people should understand this distinction. These are not kids who are trying to sneak in. They are coming to the border, and they are turning themselves over to immigration officials because they are seeking asylum. And we have a law in this country that says if you are from Central American countries, not Mexico, and you come to the border, you are guaranteed as an unaccompanied minor a due process to determine your asylum eligibility. This is the law that predated the Obama administration, and frankly, I think it's a good law.
Yeah, George W. Bush signed it, I believe.
Yes.
If I'm correct, and I think probably one of the better laws he signed without looking at all of them in front of me, which were mostly terrible.
And, of course, there's calls from the right to put the National Guard on the border. I guess the idea being that they could then receive these children in a better fashion. I'm not sure what.
It was a call for a meeting of these right-wing kooks in Michigan. Somebody called for putting landmines on the border.
Right.
Just, no, these are the genius minds and compassionate souls that we're dealing with.
Right. I mean, let's be honest. This is really a question of whether or not we're going to recognize these kids' humanity and whether, I guess, we're going to in some ways recognize our own humanity. I mean, frankly, and the president is seeking, I guess, $3.7 billion, which is an infinitesimally small amount.
Did we spend that about in a day in Iraq, or I think 2 days in Iraq is what we spend it in, something like that.
There was actually a piece up at Think Progress about we are spending what averages out to about $50 billion a year since 2006 on the F-35-2 Lightning, or the Joint Strike Fighter plane. And it's an interesting plane in that so far it's not really flying. So
we always spend money on good stuff, though. That's why we have that missile defense system right now that has protected us from nukes ever since Ronald Reagan spent money and implemented it.
Right. Exactly. And look, the point is that I think the president is just not going far enough with this.
I agree. He should step up. I just think these guys should be reamed for this and pointed out for the hypocrites and liars they are. You know, I mean, as you just said, whenever the right starts arguing over money and starts claiming that something's too expensive, you don't take them at face value, because nothing's too expensive if it has to do with spending it on defense, you know, or a variety of other things that they like to spend money on. It's always too much money if it's spent on people who need it. You know, in this case, you point out, this is the law. Second of all, we're not talking about, in this case, as you said, we're not talking about, you know, Mexican kids or others who are trying to come over here and get jobs. That actually has decreased because of our economy slowing down for a while and not being a place that offered the kinds of jobs it did. We're talking about people escaping from gangs, you know, from criminal gangs that are killing young kids, forcing them to join or killing them. I mean, again, it's just, it's amazing to me. These are people that will literally, like, you know, harass people to the end of time, scream at people, and, of course, take court cases to court, when an egg is implanted, and stem cells and things, which are life, you know, just like you and me, right? They eat pizza, they like their caramel macchiatos, they're life. But what's not life, apparently, are a bunch of kids from Central America, such that we need landmines to stop them. That they can find any consistency in that, it just shows that you know, the whole issue of birth control and abortion and all that, as we know, is never really about that. It's about controlling women.
Right.
Because, I mean, is there any, if you call yourself pro-life, is there any instance where one could be more pro-life, not in the sense they say it, but in the actual sense of what those words should mean, than saving the lives of young kids who, due to no fault of their own, have ended up on our border because otherwise they would be dead.
Right. And you know, we should also, I think we've said this on this program, they're going to other countries as well.
They're going to Nicaragua, and they're going to Mexico, and there are a whole lot of places. These are people who are trying to not die.
Right.
Which we would do too, wouldn't we?
Now, President Obama has received some criticism on the right for not going down to the border, and in some corners on the left. Give me your sense as to whether or not, I personally think that he should go down there. He should be doing not just photo ops, but a news roll with these kids. I think, make the argument, these are human beings, and we have laws that give them the opportunity for asylum. And then I would like to see $1 billion added to that $3.7 billion to provide attorneys for these kids, because we now have data which shows that you are four times as likely to be offered asylum if you are an unaccompanied minor, if you are represented by a lawyer. But a lot of these kids, of course, they don't get legal representation, only if they're lucky enough to have family that already is in this country. It's appalling. My daughter asked me about this last night because apparently she had seen some news footage about the Murrieta protests. I don't know how she saw this. I think she was with...
The internet thing. You got to be careful, man.
Well, no, I think she was actually out when she was visiting her grandparents, and she saw it on the news, and she had asked me about it. And when, to tell your daughter that there are kids her age, 9, 10, who have walked literally hundreds, thousands of miles to basically escape a country where maybe one of their parents was killed, or their parents had basically said, you're not safe here. And to explain to her that, they're coming here so that they can actually have a life. And she's like, well, I don't understand. Why were they stopping the buses? And I'm like, because they don't like them. Well, they don't like the kids.
They look different and speak a different language. And, they were coming here from Canada or England. I'm sure it wouldn't be nearly as much of a problem. I know. I've had to have these conversations with my 7-year-old son, not about this issue, but about other issues, about when he's seen kids who are impoverished and that kind of thing. It's a really tough conversation to have, because they don't get it. Why would you not take care of everybody, right? Why would you not do that? Should just remind you again that the kinds of problems we have are taught. They're not inborn. This is a sort of like what happened in Murrieta. I mean, it's a mob, it's a mob mentality here. Spending money, following the law, this is, as you said, this isn't a lot of money. You're following American law. You're doing what we've done for years with those who are lucky enough to escape from Cuba. Why don't we ask Ted Cruz how he and his family feel about that? Should we have sent them back? Should we have sent Marco Rubio back? That's right. Marco Rubio came over at a different time. We don't even actually know when Marco Rubio. I think Marco Rubio came over in the Santa Maria. So let's not even talk about him. But, I don't get this. These are people escaping under the same circumstances as those who escaped from Cuba, escaped in other countries such as that, who came here. And, the argument against taking them in is so weak, and they just try to conflate it with immigration and the rest. And it gets exhausting, because arguing with stupid people and just nasty, trolly people is exhausting after a while. But that's where it is. You're trying to turn it into a political issue. And I will say, look, Obama, this seems to be a constant problem, which is he doesn't seem to understand, like, acting immediately. You know what I mean? Doing something right when it's happening. Yeah, people can say, it's a photo op. But it's an important photo op. When Katrina's happening, you don't fly over it. Right? Point down to it. Say, hey, look down there. When there's storms hitting New York and New Jersey, you don't stay on your vacation. And we've criticized many politicians for these things. When there's a, when you know, this is the job, this is what you ran for. It may not be convenient with your, you know, but you need to get down there. You need to show that you're there. It's important that you do that. And so I will criticize Obama for that. I don't take anything the right says seriously because they would criticize him. If he had gone down immediately, they would have criticized him for that. So, I don't care what they say. But, yeah, he should have been down there immediately. But he is there, and they are trying to handle it. And that's where we are now. And you've got a group of people that essentially, I think from now for the rest of his presidency, maybe he should just say the opposite of what he actually wants to happen because then the Republican Congress will do it.
Right. Well, I want to turn to actually the lawsuit in a second, but I also indulge me here. I don't know how I came to this news story. I recalled it when I landed on it, but it was the story of the first serviceman killed in combat in Iraq. And his name was, he was a Lance Corporal, Jose Gutierrez. He was 22 with the Marines. He died, I guess, March 21st, 2003. He was not a citizen of this country, though he was in our military. He was born in Guatemala. He held permanent U.S. resident status, which he had obtained in 1999. At age 14, with his parents dead, Gutierrez followed the path of 700,000 of his countrymen to California. He made the 2,000-mile journey from his Guatemala City neighborhood without entry papers. He hopped 14 freight trains to get through Mexico, and at the border, he was detained by U.S. immigration authorities. Guatemala's consul general in Los Angeles says the United States doesn't deport Guatemalan minors who arrive without family. Good, and because of the a law that was signed, I believe it was in 2002, Gutierrez was made a ward of Los Angeles Juvenile Court. He was placed in a series of group homes and foster families. He learned English.
Can I ask you something quickly,
yeah,
Sam,
please,
just for my own edification and so I can look at it? Where did you see this so I can go read it?
I don't know. It was a USA Today story.
Okay.
And he learned
That's
English.
Fascinating.
He learned English and finished high school. When he reached 18, he got residency documents. He was the last couple that he lived with was a machinist originally from Ecuador and his wife. They cared for two younger foster children as well at their home in Lomita. The idea that this is a new phenomena, I mean, yes, the numbers that we're seeing are greater because the violence has, there's been a huge uptick in violence over the past couple of years in Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras. But
which, by the way, with our continuing idiotic drug war, we're helping fuel.
Indeed.
Should be part of this conversation, too, which is if we would follow the lead of a couple states and you know, there are people should pay attention and go out and vote because everything from, I believe, decriminalization, there may be a legalization on the ballot somewhere. I don't know. Is it Alaska? I'm trying to remember. And there certainly is medicinal use of marijuana. But even in what Cory Booker and Rand Paul announced recently, their Redeem bill, which, again, I'm not a I don't fall into the liberal lovers of Rand Paul group because of some of the other things he doesn't believe, as in, like, he – or does believe, like, personhood. To give both those guys – and Cory Booker certainly caught a lot of hell from the left for some of his dalliances with Wall Street. But this is a – to me, that bill could be a great start towards something. You know, I don't want to get off this topic completely, but let's keep in mind – that the demand that we're you know, allowing to continue here in this country is fueling a lot of what's going on down there.
Well, that said, I mean, I don't know that marijuana decriminalization in this country is really going to ultimately impact what's going on in terms of those drug cartels in Central America.
No, but culturally, it's a start. In other words,
it's a start.
That itself won't, but changing attitudes towards drugs in this country and how we police them, how we educate people about them, you know, and how we talk about them, I think all that stuff contributes culturally to taking us away from the war on drugs overall.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I would also say there's a couple other factors. I mean, aside from the fact that we end up deporting violent gang members back to those countries where we could theoretically, I guess, imprison them here. You know, I spoke to Li Feng on the soon-to-be late 3-6 show this past week about the organizations that are fighting against marijuana decriminalization. And surprise, surprise, they are funded mostly by pharmaceutical companies that sell prescription opiate-based drugs. And it came up, and, you know, I think maybe we've mentioned this in the past, but there were 18,000 prescription opiate prescription deaths in this country last year. And what is also driving right now the heroin trade in this country is this overprescription of opiate-based drugs, which are getting people addicted. And then when they no longer have access to these drugs, or because they're too expensive, they end up just getting heroin, which is pennies on the dollar. And so that is, in many respects, also driving a lot of that. And frankly, you know, I think the fact that the black market marijuana business is sort of a bit of a dead end business because of where we're headed in this country. I mean, so these are all issues. In addition, of course, we could go and spend a long time talking about the history of the United States intervention in these countries and that area, which has basically shattered institutions and created all sorts of ongoing violence. But nevertheless, none of those things impact the fact that we're talking about children. And frankly, I'm not even convinced that we couldn't make this argument about adults, too. They're human beings, too, apparently.
Look, none of these things are simple. You know, none of them have one cause. It's like some of the other issues that we work on, you know what I mean, where the answer from the right, because everything is black and white, there's no nuance, is just put up landmines and send out the National Guard and put up a fence and it's solved. You know,
right.
You know, rub your hands together, done. You know, it's when I work on you know, something like gun policy, when you're talking about the age of people and security and what kind of background checks and what kind of weaponry, there's many different. I mean, any public health crisis or beyond that, really, any crisis such as this, you know, there's always going to be a variety of different root causes. So it's not to say that there's a magic bullet here. It's not to say there's anything that we're saying that's going to solve this. But, you know, we're contributing in a lot of different ways. And at the same time, then, we want to ignore everything we say we stand for. And on the other end, we want to just wash our hands of all day. And when I say we, I mean some very specific weeds, not all of us. And so, I mean, it's just it's tragic.
All right, let's turn to the lawsuit that Boehner hasn't quite filed it yet, but I think he's filed the bill that would authorize the lawsuit, and it has specifically to do. I mean, people were wondering whether or not. Because he was very vague about it. He's like, we're going to sue. We're just not quite sure based upon what yet, which is a tough case, I think, to make that there's any specific damages. And that actually may be the problem that Congress has in suing the president. But it is specifically involving President Obama's, or I should say Health and Human Services, taking the action of postponing the employer mandate for the Affordable Care Act.
This is so classically, awesomely Republican. We can only find one thing that maybe we've got a case against you about, which I'm sure they don't. But the only thing we can find to even sort of semi-go after you about is something that we were completely yelling at you to do, and then you did it, and now we're saying that you overstepped your bounds by doing it.
Right.
I mean, it's just so them that they, it just so is the embodiment of how they don't stand for anything anymore. This is all showmanship. This is all games. They don't legislate. They don't govern. It's just a big joke. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty stunning. And, you know, I'm hoping to talk to someone who can sort of give me a better sense of what happens as this suit. But my understanding is that they're going to have a very difficult time even getting a court to accept the suit, essentially. The challenge is not to Obama's right to issue executive orders. According to Boehner, it's only his right to change legislation without congressional approval. Traditionally, courts have basically said to Congress in this instance, you do not have standing because you have because, A, you cannot prove that you have been damaged by this. And to the extent that you argue sort of generally this ethereal argument that your status in our system of government has been diminished in some way, you have other mechanisms in which to address this. You could pass legislation theoretically tomorrow saying, okay, the mandate has to be implemented right now. You have the power of the purse. You could theoretically defund this. You could impeach the president. And so generally, these lawsuits don't add up to much. And I think a lot of experts just say to even take this seriously as a legal case is ridiculous. Now, with that said, I also remember people saying that specifically about the Affordable Care Act, the Commerce Clause issue. That was the sleeper. Everybody was like, that's mystifying. It's almost impossible to imagine that the court would rule that because the government is tying Medicaid expansion into all of Medicaid, that somehow is coercive. They don't have to take it if they don't want to take it. That was, in fact, what the Supreme Court ruling turned on. And I remember talking to literally a half a dozen constitutional lawyers out in front of the Supreme Court going down there during the oral arguments. And to a person, they all said, I'm baffled by why that would even be included in this, because that's almost impossible to imagine that the court would accept that argument. And
yes.
And nevertheless,
how many times have we caught ourselves saying,
right. And if I had the opportunity to be interviewing constitutional legal experts in 2000 out in front of the Supreme Court as to whether or not the Supreme Court would hear the Bush v. Gore, they would have all said, no, it's not. They would never do that. And in some respects, when you hear an expert saying,
a court that has always said they give due deference to they're not activists and give due deference to legislation and also to states' rights, and states are, you know, states conduct their own elections. And the biggest proponent of that, of course, being Scalia, of course they wouldn't get involved in that now, until they did.
Right. Of course. And so it's possible something about this could prevail. And I guess the outcome would be simply, and frankly, I don't know when the employer mandate kicks in. I think it's probably in October because it was waived for a year. So I guess the case would have to wind its way through the courts before them and then be resolved for it to even have any legitimate impact. But I want to get to the irony of this lawsuit conceived on a day when all of these reports have come out on the efficacy of Obamacare, at least in terms of what it purported to do. But Bill Scheer has a piece up basically saying that this actually opens the door to impeachment more. You know, some people surmised that Boehner was doing this to head off impeachment. I was one of those people, but it's quite clear what this has done. It basically says to the Sarah Palins and the Alan Wests and all of the people in that business in the Republican industry, essentially. They've got to go one up on that because they can't let Boehner have the poll position. So they've got to call for impeachment. Now, it's not like they weren't already, but they're going to do it in a more vociferous manner, and they're going to do it before the 2014 election, I think, which nobody, none of them wanted to do because it's a big fundraising tool. And this, I think, is going to I have contended for a while that I think the chances of impeachment, particularly if the Republicans take the Senate, even though you need 2/3 of the Senate to convict in the Senate, the political pressure by the Frankensteins that these people have created will be too great for them not to do it.
That's the thing. I think you're probably right. You know, I mean, will some of them hold off, or will they find a way to kind of, I don't know, but it would be, that if there, whatever minds are left in that party, of which there are not that many that are not addled, realize what a disaster it was for them in 98, at least initially. I think eventually it in some ways paid off. It certainly would hurt them for, you know, in an upcoming presidential election. But maybe they lose that already. In any case, what I do know is the crazy people will be calling for it, and the guys who are the so-called establishment will have a real hard time holding them back.
Yeah, indeed. And so let's just talk a little bit about these polls that have come out and these studies that have come out. Three new studies have come out that indicate the vast majority of Obamacare enrollees report satisfaction with their new health plans. In the first year, Obamacare has reduced the number of uninsured by between 8 and 11 million. That's a combination of Medicaid expansion and through the exchanges. More than 3 in 4 Obamacare enrollees report satisfaction with their health plans, like I said. And what's also fascinating is that 3 out of 4 Republicans said they were satisfied with their new health plans.
Yeah, that was the big one, right? It was like 74% of Republicans.
Yes.
You know, look, this is why you know, this is why these guys didn't, you know, so many of these Republican strategists fought against this from the beginning, as they fought any new social benefit, because they realized that you know, polling, when you say little slogans, is so simplistic, right? I mean, they can dirty up the word liberal so that most people will say, I'm not liberal, and you ask them what they stand for, and they actually believe in most things we do, right, as they can do with many other terms. But, you know, that's the thing in the end, is that people do believe in a government that takes care of them and that helps them during difficult times and that provides, a real vibrant social safety net. And, you know, the vast majority of people believe in health care, that they should have the right to health care. So the truth of the matter was is that, you know, once this happened, if people were getting quality health care, you know, forget all the stuff, the initial problems rolling it out or whatever. If eventually this thing, you know, went forward and they got it right, Republicans are going to lose. And that's why you don't hear them all calling, at least except for the few craziest ones, for repealing this anymore, because they're not going to get anywhere. The funniest thing is when they said they're going to offer an alternative, and they still can't seem to do that, because there is no alternative. This was their alternative. You know what I mean? I mean, what else could there? I love their whole thing about, well, we can just have some health savings accounts. That really helps people who are poor or who don't have any money.
Right.
You know, having a $6,000 tax write-off for a health savings account is a really big deal to you when you can't afford a basic doctor's visit. I mean, there's no answer, except for somehow having the government help subsidize for people that can't afford it for themselves. And because these guys are now locked into a point where they have crazy people who are saying, you're not allowed to spend money on anything unless it blows up, what can they do?
This is the funniest note, and then we'll wrap this up, was that apparently Brookings did a study at the Koch brothers' spending against the Affordable Care Act, $450 million reportedly. And apparently, after controlling for other state characteristics, such as low per capita income population and average insurance premiums, there is a positive association between the anti-Affordable Care Act spending and Affordable Care Act enrollment. In other words, the more was spent in a state putting ads up saying the Affordable Care Act is bad, the higher the enrollment figures were. Because it's possible that the anti-Affordable Care Act ads may have unintentionally increased the public awareness about the existence of subsidized services and benefits to the uninsured.
You know, these guys need to learn some basic PR, which is you don't ever give your... It's sort of like if you're running against an opponent in a race and nobody knows their name, you don't attack them to give them free name recognition.
Yeah.
Some of these guys really need some basic lessons in how the media works. So that's probably what happened, is they put all these ads up. Most people don't pay close attention. They saw Affordable Care Act to remind them to go enroll.
It also they found that in the states where there were more anti-Affordable Care Act ads, residents were on average more likely to believe that Congress was going to repeal the Affordable Care Act, and therefore it motivated them to go out and get the insurance while it still existed.
Oh, man. These guys are awesome.
Yes.
I mean, you know, if they didn't do so much damage to our country on the right, you could just sit around with a highlight reel and laugh at them.
Well, I do that anyways. I try.
I mean, we still can, and we have to, because it's our job to mock them and laugh at them. But, I mean, my God, what a collection of clowns.
Cliffy, hopefully I will see you next week at Netroots Nation.
I believe it looks like the stars have aligned, and I indeed shall be there.
Thank God for
the
stars.
So we'll do this whole thing from there.
All right, great. All right, thank you, Cliff. I'll talk to you later.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, and assuming the internet holds up, we're going to be talking to the inimitable Andy Kindler. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Sam Seder on the Majority Report, and it is always a pleasure to welcome back to this program the original, the original Obama bot. I think maybe we should start a new category, too, of guests. One of the top FOSs, friend of shows.
He's an MVP guest for sure.
MVP guest. Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Kindler. Hello, Andy.
Everything, the whole thing sounded very condescending to me. What do you mean, a friend of the show? What am I? What am I, a guy who pays $5 and gets an Archie badge?
No, but we can arrange for that.
You're doing what?
We can arrange for it.
Oh, hey, you know, what did you guys get, a discount ISDN line? What did you get? What did you sign up for? Hotmail internet package. Every fourth word cuts out. What's going on? I'm in a studio. I'm in the NPR studios here. I paid $300 and locked myself in with Sennheiser headphones and a device.
Are you having trouble hearing me?
I am, but it's okay.
Oh, well, let me call you back. I'll call you back. We'll do this again.
Okay.
I'm having internet problems. All right. We'll be right back with Andy, folks. Let's see.
It sounded a little condescending.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mean it to.
Yeah,
I did. I don't think it sounded condescending at all.
Thank you.
disappointed in you, Michael, when Sam
just
said
on cloud nine. Right
when
now.
Sam said
he likes every fourth word cuts out.
Yeah, what's that? Are you still having a conversation with me?
Oh, I kept talking. I keep talking, whether you're there or not. I keep going. You'll pick it up. I never listen to you anyway. That's why I never get any acting work. When I act, I look at the person. I go, "Is there? Are they still doing their lines?" Because as soon as they stop, boom, I'm in.
Now, Andy, I'm glad we have you because one thing I wanted to definitely bounce off you was the Emmy Awards were announced, or at least the nominees. And I am looking through this thing, and I cannot find the word Marin in here. What's going on?
We got robbed. We got robbed. There's the nomination process is fixed, as far as I'm concerned. Someone, the pay is in. The jig is up.
The fix is in.
Well, whatever. I don't watch those kind of movies like this. I don't sit around watching The Sting like you do, 12 hours a day. I don't watch Sleuth. I don't have Sleuth on Blu-ray like you have.
I've got it on Laserdisc. Are you kidding? I've got it on every format that's ever been made. I have a Betamax version of it.
That used to be my go-to in the 80s. What is that? What, you got a Betamax over there? Boom. That was it. That was a surefire close. You got it on? This guy must have an Edison spool at home. Boom.
That's right, folks. Andy Kindler is going to be doing this until well into his 70s, according to his Twitter feed today. Andy.
I laugh because it's not that far off in realistic terms.
Right. We're only months away, right?
I keep browsing online condo circuit. Those are my keywords. Condo circuit.
Did you follow who got nominated for the Emmys? You must, right?
I kind of did. I don't know. First of all, I'm never going to be in the award show. That ship has sailed. And I practice so much at home. I have a red carpet I roll out.
Let me ask you. Did you ever practice your acceptance speech for an Emmy?
No, I haven't done that because I'm not living in it. Well, I just think I'd be funny off the cuff. No, I don't. I don't have. Sure, I have several versions of it on written already, plugging in different shows. I want to say that being on Law & Order SVU has been some of the greatest years of my life.
Well, no, there's some comedy. Look, let's go out. Let's talk about the outstanding lead actresses in a comedy. You tell me if you've watched any of these, because I haven't watched many. Lena Dunham for Girls.
Yeah, I enjoyed that show.
Edie Falco for Nurse Jackie. Is that even a comedy? I didn't realize that was a comedy.
They don't. The Emmys don't do it that way. The Emmys say, "Hey, why don't we put we'll put the Letterman in with the 79th Emmy Academy Awards, and also we'll stick it on miniseries in which there are no consonants."
The rest of them are comedy.
This is my worst set I've ever had in a club, on the phone, in a conversation, in a dream. I'm off my game, Sam.
You know what? Everybody is today. I'm tired. I'm annoyed. I'm worried about the internet all the time now. Julia Louise Dreyfus in Veep. You like that show?
I'm in the minority on this show because I love the guy Armando Iannucci, who is the creator of that show. He did a show in London or England or whatever the hell you call that area, UK. It's one of the greatest shows you'll ever see. It's called The Thick of It. It's what Veep is based on. But The Thick of It looks like a documentary. It's amazing. Whereas Veep, I think Veep is the wrong show for our times. We don't have that situation now. It's not like that with the bumblingness and the everything is a bipartisan mayhem. It doesn't. Now, tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, wait a second. I want to dig into this because this is interesting. What do you think? You're saying that it doesn't capture what is really the mood about politics?
Can you please say you want to push back on it, or that you want to drill down, or you want to unpack it? You want to unpack it further? Okay?
Yeah, let's unpack
Alex
it.
Let's unpack it. Alex Wagner's. Yeah, Alex Wagner's constantly. You know what? Why don't you get luggage? That's when you unpack luggage. You don't unpack news events.
Well, let's get to the meaning in which what you're saying here, or let's pull out the different clothing items in what you said and account for them and put them back into the drawers.
Let's button up the shoes. Let's take the shoes out of this and stick them with the socks and see about the if the stretching in the underwear is still good.
Well, no. I mean, tell me, were you saying that it's not this political time or what?
Well, here's the thing. I always have to make feelings because, first of all, I've alienated every single person in the world. I have friends in that show. Matt Walsh, I think, is brilliant. There's very funny
I got news for you. We had Matt Walsh on this program, and, you know, he's not that brilliant. I mean, he's very good, but I wouldn't say brilliant.
I was just saying that because I figured it would be a good thing for me to say.
Well, I was just saying that to get you to say that you didn't mean it.
I don't like him. I don't like him. I'm not a big fan. I've gone sour on you.
Who else? What? Really? Why?
Okay.
What happened?
No.
Who else are you friends with on that show?
Well, that's not true. First of all, I auditioned for that show. They were very nice.
Right. I see what's going on.
All the rejections.
Yeah.
Of all the rejections, that was one of the nicest rejections I've had. There also, there's the guy who's Job from the show that everyone liked, that the thing with the irreconcilable.
Arrested
What's
Development?
What's the show on ABC? Midget Curl, yeah. So that guy's in there. There's funny people, but it doesn't make me laugh. I have a problem with a lot of things, but when I watch Parks and Rec, do I need to have a hipster come over and watch it with me so they can explain why I should be into it? You're a hipster. Tell me why this little these two people bantering. First of all, there isn't a parks department like that. There is, doesn't exist where they're all hanging around and cracking wise. There's a guy with a broom and a custodian. That's a park center.
Wow. Wow, I don't know. Have you actually gone out and done any research on this?
Yeah. Excuse me. Are there any spare volleyballs? Hold on. I'll check. Next week.
Can you help me unpack this?
Melissa.
Yes.
What is it? Melissa McCarthy. What is Mike and Molly?
No, that's a show that you you're not supposed to watch. You just leave that on the background and you do your homework.
I've never even heard of it.
She's hilarious.
Never even heard of it.
Oh, it's on Channel 2. It's a Chuck Lorre joint.
You know, we don't all have the same channels, right? Channel 2. Like you say, it's Channel 2. Like, it's not.
Hey, what do you got, Sam? You watching Channel 2?
All right, let's go to the
channel
outstanding lead actor.
WPIX 11. Okay, I'm sorry. Melissa McCarthy's funny, by the way. Just want to put it in there. Go. You're on.
Outstanding lead actor, Louie. What do you say?
This guy took this show. This year's like, you know what? Are you getting interested? Good. We're going to another scene. We're switching to now we're in a bowling alley. You like that? Great. Now we're in the back of Russ's daughter's, and he's shoveling a carp down his hooking. You happy now? Okay. Now you're in Russia, and I'm watching a contact play frisbee.
So you don't like the fact that some of the episodes are a little bit disjointed. It doesn't. Why is everybody saying that about this season? It seems to me that's been basically the way it's worked for since season one.
Can you consider? Well, okay, he does some of the best grimacing in the business. He does a good. Here's one of his classics. He lets air out through his mouth better than Brando would do that. He walks, you don't know what's going on. He's internal. There must be an internal dialogue that's going on. He sleeps. Have you seen him sleep? Have you seen him sleep? He opens his eyes. For a second, he has to get used to the lights. That's one of his bits.
My gosh. Wow,
yeah.
Andy, how long have you and Louis been at each other's throats? Or I should say, how long have you been at Louis's throat? I don't think Louis really.
Look,
yeah,
he could. As well, I like to use the phrase correctly. He couldn't care less what I think. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I am very good friends with him. It's all a bit. Louis, let me say something. Louis C.K., if you want to find a guy who's not out for himself, a guy who's not in it, who has no ambition, a guy, it's not about the ambition, it's not about the attention, it's about how he gives to the, that's the man. He's the man, he's he is a selfless, it's almost like a charitable function. Show business to him.
Oh, boy.
He has to get a hat. His hats are four sizes larger to be able to accommodate his bulging ego. He's had CAT scans done. Because of the size of his ego.
All right, let's go to I think we have enough.
Okay, too far.
I just think that the hat. If you're digging that deep,
I know.
In unpacking for the hat joke.
I know it. Callback.
Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory.
Oh boy. I like him. That show. What? A lot of people like that show. I don't understand it. It's another show. Chuck Lorre has 15. Right now, he has 55 shows on the air right now. 55. They're all on CBS, and they run from Monday morning through Friday night, and they're all there. Or Still Standing, I think, is his. What's that? Oh, I Left Something in My Other Pocket. One of his shows.
You know, I'll tell you something. I have watched that show. I am friends with Johnny Galecki. I don't talk to him too much, but on occasion. I've watched the show, and all it makes me feel is like I am so out of it.
You're not out of it. You're not out of it, Sam.
I have trouble actually like even following what the heck they're talking about.
They're nerds. Oh, they're like into science and stuff. And then all of a sudden, who would think the ladies would like them? But the ladies don't like them. And then they have activities, and I think they're all about 70 years old now. So I don't know why they're still living in an apartment.
Let's move. I want to ask you this. In fact, most of this has been a build up to this. Outstanding variety series, The Tonight Show, starring Jimmy Fallon.
Ooh. Yes, my votes are in. No more votes. Okay.
No, who would you give this to? The Colbert Report, Daily Show with Jon Stewart, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Real Time with Bill Maher, Saturday Night Live.
Real Time. They want to give it. Is there a category for a hate mongering Islamophobic religion basher? Is that the category?
Wow.
That's right. If anybody has a problem with it, I can't even keep up the character. How come Letterman's not in there?
What's that?
No Letterman?
Yeah.
Letterman.
Letterman's not in there. He is not.
Oh, okay. Well, I would go. I don't think The Daily Show's gotten any awards. So I would get it. Colbert Report.
There you go. Yeah, you're so excited about him going to.
If John Oliver's show doesn't take that next year.
Yeah, what do you think about the John Oliver show?
I thought, how many daily shows are we going to have? 3? 10? How many do we need?
Oh, boy.
I disagree with you a little bit, Andy.
This show is really good. It's the best of all of them.
He goes into a lot more depth, and I think that in some ways he kind of takes aim a little bit more at the substance of things instead of just kind of playing the same Fox clips and mocking them, you know?
Oh, I have to watch something now to have an opinion? Now I have to watch it. Nice. Thank you.
I would never want you to actually have to watch something.
You know what it is? I can't take the format starting to drive me crazy. So I will accept what you're saying. I change my mind. I withdraw. Did Jimmy Fallon, is he in the category of the most obsequious television personality? Is that what the... I'll keep the John Oliver in those shows.
On the Dick Whittler says Andy Kindler sounds like Jerry Lewis raping Gilbert Gottfried.
I don't like when people use the word Jerry Lewis.
Fair enough. So Andy, what's going on with you? Are you still shooting Marin's show, or is that already canceled? I mean,
I don't know. You know, Sam, I know you've only been in show business for 40 years, but when you're seeing a TV show in the air, they've already wrapped that season. Hello?
Oh, is it on?
Yes, it's on right now.
I know, I'm joking.
I don't know who this guy is I'm doing. What's going on with me is that I decided not to stand with Ant and got everybody upset.
What's that, stand
with
Ant?
Good.
Wait, what is this?
The people who were... defending Anthony Cumia of Opie and Anthony.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What's your take on that?
My take on that is, well, first of all, I still can't believe that people understand that there's a big difference between free speech and having a radio job. You know, if I'm the head of a network, I don't have to green light the Nazi hour. You know, it's like, that's not what free speech is. But I just think that the fact that nobody, unless those tweets were, weren't his tweets, you know, like something that someone fabricated them, they're racist. So
right.
I don't understand why can't we all just say, this guy's racist, or at least, I'm not even going to say he's racist. That was a racist rant. I mean, what do you say about a show? I've never listened to the show. But what do you say about a show that their first instinct after the Trayvon Martin verdict is to interview George Zimmerman's brother? That's
right.
Their take.
Right.
So why are we standing? I don't understand. What are we standing with there? And also, they're boycotting Sirius. These are the same people who hate when anything is boycotted.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even realize. I haven't even followed it that much to know that that was going on. But what are they doing? They're bringing in Jim Norton? Is it going to be the Opie and Norton show?
He's always been on that show. I've never listened to him, but I think he's been on that show for the last 5 years.
Oh. He's been promoted.
But that whole genre makes me nervous. It reminds me of people, it took me so long to like Howard Stern because all I could focus on was with his audience. So it's like, you know, like the Opie and Anthony fans, they wouldn't let, you know, Bill Burr had to scream at them to get through a set, and it's like a famous thing on YouTube. If you're fat, and they called me, what kind of language can we use on the, can I use any language I want?
Actually, right now we can. Yeah, we're past 1 o'clock.
Okay. They start, of course, trying to intimidate me, which is very, very easy to do. It's bad. And they call me alt faggot. Shut
what?
Up, you alt faggot.
They called you alt faggot?
Alt faggot. And I think my act is mainstream.
I see. So they were saying that you were faggy because you were doing alt comedy.
They're like the most, I can't think of more just horrible people than the people who listen to the show. I'm sure there's very nice people, a lot of professors I'm sure listen to the show.
Yes.
But I don't know, you're part of the whole cringe comedy movement. I don't understand.
I'm part of the whole fringe comedy movement, is that what you said?
No, it's called, cool. You know, they have that cringe humor. I don't think you even know about this stuff.
No.
Because you're not in the stand-up. Thing.
No,
is that
a type of stand-up they call it now, cringe, that's supposed to make you like feel like, wow, it's sort of like a shock comedy, but how's that different?
Well, even
shock?
When they talk about comics, if you go in there, like, they're like, hey, the Kindler's, I'm not saying me, but they go, Kindler's, oh, yeah, he should shove his own act up his ass, that kind of thing.
Right.
I'm sorry, I thought you were all over this, Sam. I think you've been in a different world now. I don't know if you're thinking about politics or what your game is. But,
no, it's just basically, I'm just trying to get sleep. That's basically
it. And do you like to catch up on sleep during our interview?
Andy!
I also like the way you go, yeah, we're past one. Are you telling me we're not even on the air anywhere now? This is just for like the archives or for a blooper reel?
No, well, we're not on terrestrial radio anymore.
I knew what you meant. I was playing the dumb guy.
Oh, that was pretty good. Oh my God. Andy,
I'm not playing.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
My weakest appearance yet.
I don't think so. I think there's been some other ones.
We can mine the archives, buddy.
Andy, always a pleasure. Always.
The Tin Men.
Always
watch
a pleasure.
The Tin Men.
All right.
The Tin Men.
All right, I'll watch The Tin Man. There you go. And a movie recommendation from Andy from 14 years ago.
Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't. Is it good?
I thought they weren't supposed to be current.
No, I know. That's good. I'll watch The Tin Man. I'll do it.
It's a Barry Levinson film. It's really one of the funniest films I've ever seen with Richard Dreyfuss, Danny DeVito, and it's hilarious. They sell aluminum siding.
Wow.
And it's got some stand-up comics in it. I think Jackie Gale's in it. And it's like it's one of the funniest movies.
All right.
One of my favorites.
Andy Kindler, folks, thanks so much, Andy.
You are the best, guys. I love you.
All right. Bye-bye. Love you, too.
All right. All right.
Bye. You know, I got to say, Andy sounds exactly like Jeremo to me. Is it me or is it my new the headphones I'm using are different? What do we got? Do we have a Jimmy Reefer Cake song?
Oh, shit. We do, but...
You got to talk into the microphone. What is with you today?
We do, but I don't have it. What do you mean what's with me today?
You're a little bit out of it today. I think you're... Matt is still sort of floating on air from his debate with the men's rights activists.
I am feeling quite good about it, but I wouldn't say that's what...
Now, folks, you can go to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Sam Cedar. And, of course, we'll put it on the front page. Morning blog. We've embedded it on the front page of majority.fm. Matt debated one of these men's rights guys. And the best part of it was watching the men's right advocate basically accidentally say that Stefan Malyu sounded like an insane person.
I believe the word was psychopath.
Psychopath. Yeah. And then at the end of the debate, there was this weird guy who moderates the debate, who apparently is also a men's rights activist. But
he's the site editor of A Voice for Men, which it really made me
but
question.
But didn't he have like a different title? He had a very strange title, like operations director.
Like, yeah, they probably gave him
He's the operations director. And...
He coordinates harassment emails to women that go out from the site.
Was he not aware that he was on camera? Like, he was just like, oh, okay, here we go. Let's just do this. Like, he seemed like he had something else that he really wanted to be doing. And, like, his Svengali, you know, sort of, you know, and they're very formal with each other. Very strange dynamic, I thought. The whole thing was very, very strange. This guy, this operations director of A Voice of Men, refers to Paul Elam as Mr. Elam. I think at one point he said Herr Elam or something like that.
I kept thinking Scientology and, without any fun.
Yeah, and then the best part is, am I giving it away? I mean, it's
worth talking about. Yeah.
Matt. Made the case that, look, if you guys were really men's activists, you would really be dealing with real issues that impact men instead of, like, just crying about crying about even when they bring up any type of issue that oppresses men, it's really in the context of this feminist said something mean, 10 years ago to me or whatever it is. And Matt, gave them a list of things that they could look into. And the best part is that the operations director broke form and basically at the end of the debate said, hold on, Matt, can you tell me where I can find the articles regarding that issue? And it was hilarious because it was basically like saying, I would like to declare Matt the winner of this debate. Oh, God, I just realized I'm the operations director and Mr. Elam will be upset at me.
It's almost like he noticed he was going to say that as he was saying it, actually. Like,
yeah, and he held back.
He
like,
realized.
Oh, wait, yeah,
I don't think that Mr. Elam noticed himself.
No, Elam didn't, but no. The other guy.
No, I understand. But Mr. Elam's not the most... self-aware,
well,
aspiring
cult leader
out there.
Look, here's my feeling, and I just to help him out, I would give him a lot of tips about different things if I felt so inclined. But I really did feel compelled after watching the video to just tell him that when you debate somebody, if you show up, and apparently this guy imposed all sorts of very specific rules. It can only be 4 minutes. Each person speaks for 4 minutes. It was very Henry – Blockian, Walter Blockian. You each get 4 minutes, no interruptions. But this guy spent, I think, at least 80% of his time reading from prepared statements. So it's really no debate. I mean, you might as well have done this with email as far as he was concerned, but not even email. It would have been really just like, here's a series of statements I'm going to put out. Matt will put out his statements, and that's the end of the thing. And Matt did a very good job of basically saying, hey, I'm going to debate like a grown-up where we can actually exchange ideas rather than just have dueling press releases. But I have to say that I think this is why the men's rights guy did so poorly was because he didn't address what Matt was saying. And he And you know, you don't even have to address directly to win a debate. You can fashion your argument in such a way that diffuses what the other person has said. But because he was so wedded to his prepared statements, I don't know if this guy, is this the way the guy normally debates, if he's nervous about actually getting up and debating and maybe that's why he has such rigid parameters, because he's nervous about that.
It's worth noting, I think, that the only time we were able to have an actual back and forth conversation was when I agreed that if I invite him to, I fully want him to use my
ceded some of your time to him. Yeah.
So he definitely spoke way more than me, and I have no problem with that. That's not any sort of issue.
It was great that the whole premise was the whole challenge and everything that this guy threw down the gauntlet said, this kid is a little punk. He's got no intellectual credibility. He's terrified. There's no way he'll ever defend himself. There's no way he'll ever debate. And then all of the rules that he set up, and also down to like the prepared statements. He didn't want anything. He didn't want any exchange. He spent the whole buildup saying that you were like a wuss who would not go near him. And then the whole point of the debate was to not actually debate.
And he hid behind his prepared statements, which didn't work out for him. And I offered that as a tip to him on his YouTube channel, that next time he should just try and listen to what the other person says. That way you can actually refute it. But all right, do we have a Jimmy Reefer cake?
We do.
It's
called Tea Party Patriot.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, kids, here we go. A Tea Party Patriot, short and stout. Listen to him whine, listen to him pout. When he sees an immigrant, hear him shout, go pick my oranges, get the heck out. Yeah, that's right, kids, they can pick our fruits and vegetables, but then they need to go home. A Tea Party Patriot, waving the flag. Conversion therapy so he won't be a fag. The gay is deep inside him, locked up tight. He must repress it with all his might. That's right, kids, any homosexual feelings, you're gonna have to repress them. A Tea Party Patriot waving his gun. He thinks assault rifles are lots of fun. But if he gets all steamed up, we better run. He may freak out and kill everyone. That's right, kids. School shootings are going to be something we're going to have to worry about just a little bit. A Tea Party Patriot drinking his beer, but the stance on marijuana not so clear. He hates the hippies because they love everyone, and they wear their hair long and have too much fun. Oh, goodness gracious.
Jimmy has been on an absolute roll lately.
He's been on a tear. He's been on a tear. I love it. I love it when he mixes up the genres of those songs. All right, folks. Well, I guess it's going to be a Freebie Friday. I only got about 15 minutes. I got to run quick, and I won't have to do this much longer because the 3-6 show is, of course, coming to an end. This show will not end because instead of relying on one or two people who have projections that somehow were incredibly wrong, both on the cost and revenue side, only a matter of weeks after we had launched and I had committed, we instead have many, many members. And so if one of you has incorrect cost and revenue projections, it doesn't matter because there's others, but we need those others. So folks, become a member today at majority.fm. You, of course, can also support this program by, if you buy Amazon crap, the very least you can do is buy it through our link at majoritireportkickback.com. Majoritireportkickback.com. Go there, click on the link, bookmark it. You know the whole deal. And also justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Let's go right into the funner half, as it were.
Do you want to get to one of these clips?
Oh, yes, 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 yes. I'm not sure I'm going to have time for calls today. This is a wonderful example of why, if you are Fox and Friends, and you are trying to make the case that there is a war on Christmas or a war on gender or a war, a PC type of situation or whatever it is, then you should definitely do a pre-taped segment, because when you do it live, it's going to be somewhat problematic for you. And that's what happened with Steve Doocy and Fox and Friends. Steve Doocy goes on the street live to prove that PC has run so rampant that nobody can understand what's going on, and it sort of falls apart. Here is that clip now.
A lot of other stuff is going on, including word from the PC police.
Yeah, we told you about this yesterday. Remember the university that's relabeling family restrooms as all gender?
Finally.
Well, supporters think the sign is clear, and we are taking to the streets to see. So, Steve, pause. You're out there.
Imagine this. Here is the problem. They've now made family restrooms just called all gender. So maybe it's not confused. So, I mean, to me, if someone says a family restroom, that means just like you can only go in there with your kids. But now it's all gender. So this is a huge problem. Let's go to the streets.
48th and 6th, what are you learning?
I'm here at 48th and 6th Avenue, and I have a recreation of the sign that they're going to put there at Illinois State University. And I had this group of Fox fans who stopped by.
Pause it. Now, the sign has, you know, the traditional man figure, I think, in blue, and the traditional woman figure with, like, the skirt going out in red. And what the new sign does is it combines it. So it's, you know, the blue guy up top and then the skirt on the bottom, or vice versa, maybe. And so they're going to find out how confusing this is, all for the name of PC.
Hi. They've been looking at it for the last 20 seconds or so. Okay, so, and we'll start right here. If this was on a door, would you have any idea what this meant?
Maybe a family restroom?
Family restroom. That's exactly right. It was a family restroom. Do you see family restroom?
I can see that.
Pause it. See that? They wanted to put the buzzer down to say that it was wrong, but no, they understood exactly what it was. Continue.
Also, hold on 1 second. Doesn't this flaw the whole thing? They're all standing right there. He tells the first guy he's correct right where the other people are.
What? Oh, well, no. Go ahead. Continue.
Designated as family restrooms in the past, and now apparently they're going to be known as all-gender restrooms. Does that make sense?
Restrooms for both genders.
That's right. Both genders. Or transgender.
Transgender. That's what I thought.
Transgender. All right. So... All right. The middle part has thrown some people.
Well, it looks like male at the top and female at the bottom. I don't get the red and the blue, other
pink.
Than being politically correct.
All right. So that's the question we had, and that's the answer we got. All right.
Right.
Anna and Brian, into you.
Well, they're better people than us. I could not figure it out, and we had the story.
Yes, they are better people than you. They're not. They're not just fumbling around to find something to talk about, I guess, on a Friday.
No, but that's what I was saying. He gave them, like, he put them in. He brought up the like a transgender.
Well, that part. I mean, yeah, they were desperately trying to make some deal out of it. That's why Fox and Friends. You cannot do this live. You cannot do this live because sometimes. It's just going to be too hard for you to find people stupid enough.
Even in your audience.
Even in your audience.
You should still do a run-through.
Indeed. All right, let's go to the IMs. Okay, Majority Report Alliance. Thank you, Matt Binder, for fighting the real MRA. Majority Report for the real MRA, the Majority Report Alliance. Tired of those hack misogynists stealing the good MRA name.
That was great. During the debate, people started commenting in their YouTube channel, go MRAs, Majority Report Alliance!
There's now a Twitter account for that,
I believe.
Kenny Pick, great job debating the mansplainer yesterday, Matt. Sorry to hear about the 3-6 show too, Sam, but I don't blame you for a bit for leaving. Yeah, there's just no way I could do it. I mean, I can't work for 8 months. And here's the other thing. I was given some projections and told this is the formula
6-7 weeks ago. And already that's out the window. There was no guarantee I was going to get paid in January. They just said you will not get paid before January, assuming everything goes well. And I was like, well, how many months into this until I find out whether or not I'm even going to get paid in January? They were like, well, probably October. So I just couldn't do it. Milton Apathy, you could expand your show by an hour and do some selective advertising. As the month passed, I felt like you got down with the flow with the breaks and such, and you were still able to deliver a very good product as usual. Changing topics, when I took Todd Akin's book cover, I couldn't help but think about the crazy that is bubbling underneath that self-righteous bullshit. Not just crazy, but evil crazy. His smile is creepy because his eyes aren't smiling. I mean, this dude looks exactly like Preacher Kane from Poltergeist 2. International Harold, watching NBA Summer League with the sound off, listening to your show. Did you hear it? LeBron just let it leak that he's signing with the Cleveland. Wow. Weird. Weren't they sort of mean to him when he left?
I'm sure all is forgiven.
Yes. Crosser, Sammy, I'm relieved you're able to pour all your energy back into the show. Matt and Mike did a great job every Monday. And terrestrial radio is nice, but you're right in calling the web show the future and happy you don't have to rush out anymore. I was a member for a month, had some budget issues, and had canceled. We'll renew as soon as I can. We'll take part in any fundraiser. Your work is crucial. Thank you, Chris. Very nice. don't rejoin until you are well clear of any financial issues. Lestat, Canada. I'm disappointed about the ending of the Ring of Fire show. I have to wonder if Kickstarter would have helped get it off the ground. I have lots of respect for you trying it. I hope the other show gave Majority Report more members. I don't know about that, but I mean, at the end of the day, I had contemplated, you know, maybe should we have tried a Kickstarter this week or something like that? But I also was a little bit concerned about, you know, who I was getting in business with. I mean, there are other issues that came up and sort of that are, you know, are irrelevant now. So I'm not going to get into it, but recently, the app is cutting off your shows at 84 minutes on the Samsung S4. That's weird. Hey, did we cut off the member show yesterday?
We've been noticing a problem, and we can't understand what it is. It's not on our end. It's got to be on the end of – I have no idea, to be honest.
Is it uploaded properly on Libsyn?
It's uploaded properly on Libsyn.
But it's not getting to iTunes?
No. It's not getting to the hosting. We'll talk about it after.
All right.
But we'll have to figure out what's going
on. You
got
to talk to – yeah, okay. We'll be done in a minute. Hi from Colorado, recharging my accent, says Hamish, dead guy Chuck. Hey, Sam, my coworker JR used to freeload off a subscription, is now a member. All right. Largely because of my shaming and Matt's debate. All right. Slappy Shack. While I applaud Matt's willingness to argue the feminist point of view, I'd prefer that he not do so if he's going to fail so spectacularly at arguing for the feminist point of view. He managed to sound rambling and amateur while his opponent sounded fairly sane. Poor show, Matt. I don't agree with that. And I don't, you know, maybe show you some of your opponent some respect.
Okay, this is definitely not a listener of this show. Give me a break. He called me a fascist bigot. Are you kidding me?
Umar Shami, regarding progressives who say they support Israel, I can only assume this includes supporting the creation of Israel where it was created as a Jewish state, which is a meaningless term unless the rights of the Jews in such a state is superset of the rights of others. We know there was an existing population of that region that was primarily non-Jewish. Creation of a Jewish state there would necessarily involve disruption, if not outright ethnic cleansing of the people through no fault of their own. If the creation of a Jewish state was necessary and a viable but we could say the same thing about the United States of America. I mean, and we could say the same about Australia and you know, in 1948, would I have been in favor of dispossessing the Palestinians? No. It's not 1948. It's 80 years later. And so I don't think that as a, you know, a supporter of the right of Israel to exist, that is not a
progressive position. I think that we need reforms in this country, but I don't. I fundamentally don't think that we're going to go back to a time where it doesn't exist. That's how I reconcile it. Omar. Elmo the Fuzzy. Maybe a libertarian got into your studio and was messing with your phone lines. Dick Whitler. Andy Kindler. Oh, I did that one already. Jason Hitchcock. Did anyone else find it suspicious that Andy was having connection problems? Chimp Evil, 66, sorry to hear about The Daily Show. I can understand that you had to give it up, but we'll miss hearing your dulcet radio tones in the afternoon. I wonder why some of you don't get together like you and Dore, Jay at the Best of Left, and Forum Progressive Radio Guild. I mean, we're going to talk about building out this show in some ways that may be something to that effect. It doesn't matter what the subject of Big Bang Theory is. It's just bad timing and laugh track. Nathan Ray, Armando Iannucci is a natural treasure, and the thick of it is to UK politics as House of Cards is to US politics. The DX Fool, hi Sam, sorry to hear the demise of the Drive Time. I used to hear it over WEAC Radio in Northern Virginia, which is, of course, partly owned by Cliff Schechter. I think the Kindler should just swallow his pride and go back to the Disney Channel. Teacher Lauren, John Oliver is brilliant. Rowan, I remember when the opening Anthony show was on Boston. I honestly surprised they lasted as long as they did. Jay Tingle, Tin Men, not even on beta. Majority Report, Zach, I thought you did great in the debate. Your strategy to try and get them to agitate for something that's pro-men instead of anti-women was smart. Kevman, great show today. Sam, it's my 21st birthday. Can I get a shofar? Of course. Movie Wreck, A Pervert's Guide to Ideology, starring Slavo Zizek in Source Family. I will check it out. Marietta, John Oliver's great. Bingo Mosquito, about Matt's MR debate. I loved how one of Elam's rules was to be civil and then proceeded to personally attack Matt. Yeah, that was funny. Big Mitch, word to Jimmy Reefercake, song was awesome. Word to Matt, debate was awesome. Long Doggy, hey Sam, glad you finally realized that Mark Green was playing a long con prank on you. Mark from Milwaukee, apparently the only person who cares about his legacy more than Obama is LeBron James. MR fan, thanks for the 3-6 show. Keep fighting the good fight. Nathan Flowers, a conservative right-wing Catholic Supreme Court, a well-documented religious test for civil, open religious, the myth of religion from every journalist and media outlet, but Bill Maher is the bully. No, sir, Andy, you are the bully. Coming from a place of religious privilege. Quovados, Sam, you guys have a hardship membership years ago. Let me have a hardship membership. I appreciate it. Recently added the Amazon kickback link to my browser, and yesterday a friend had me order a $120 camping tent on Amazon Prime. So I did that through your link. Hopefully you guys get credit for it. Thank you. Also, how do members find the Roku 3 code? Go in and just look for Sam Cedar and load it. I think
when you try to open, listen to it, it asks you for a code.
Oh, all right. I'll look for that. I didn't know that was the case. Agnes, will you be paid for the month you did the week? No. I didn't get paid. I won't get paid. Wasn't going to get paid until January. All right. The final I am of the week, folks. Matt Binder's full of Michael's Bush. Matt did a great job. The only thing Elam could do was insult Matt's intelligence, call feminist fascists, and say everyone misquotes him. Folks, I will be here on Monday, and Matt and Michael will be filling in on Wednesday. I'll be at Netroots next week, Thursday and Friday. See you then.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm going to get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the lie fall. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in. And my pilot light's shining bright. I get somewhere the choice was made. Option where you don't get paid for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I guess somehow I lost my drive between the 101 and the 5. Do you know how far the detour takes you?
man.